It's time to get chiseled with Rob Hamadani.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chiseled. And why do we call it Chiseled? Because we're all a work in progress. I'm Rob Hamadani. I'm your host. I'm also the author of Better Than You Think. And today I have a guest, Rob Taylor Jr., who I met 7 or 8 years ago when my daughter was attending high school at Maryvale Prep in Baltimore, Maryland. Rob was born in Jersey and raised in Pennsylvania. He is a physical trainer. He's got a, called a gym, fair enough. Yeah. And he's
Performance Center.
Yeah. Performance Center. He's worked with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's consulted on numerous other major league sports teams. So, Rob, welcome to the show today.
How you doing, my man? I appreciate the opportunity. I know we talked about doing this for a while, so to finally get on the show here is an honor, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for being here, because Rob has just an incredible story to share, and if you got some tissues, you might want to have them nearby.
Yeah. I got many stories, many stories.
And he's got a sense of humor long ago with it. So, you know, it's hard to laugh when you almost die. But anyway, yeah. Rob, if you would, share a little bit of your story, how you got to where you are and what happened. And we'll chat along the way and shoot some questions at you.
No problem, man. Well, first of all, thank you very much for your friendship, for being an amazing dad. Raising a very cool family. It's been an honor and a privilege to know you and your family for the last 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. So to share this story is more therapy. So yes, there'll be times where I'll be emotional. You are correct. I am an owner of a high performance facility. I take people to the physical max, from Olympians all the way down to, you know, 7, 8 year olds. So I run the gamut of physical fitness. I have awards throughout my career. I've helped written books, DVDs. I've presented all over the world over 200 times. I'm very, very fortunate in the fitness world. And at 2:35 a.m. one night, I get up just to go to the bathroom and pee like everybody else does. That's over the age of 40 probably. And thought nothing of it. And go to wash my hands. And I feel like an electric shock go through my body. And I didn't know what it honestly was. I describe it as a singular 18-wheeler hit my chest and went down my right arm. And I didn't really know what it was. So I walked into the bedroom. And at the time, it was kind of like during a COVID time. So Chrissy was in the guest room, and the wife was in the guest room, and I was in the bedroom. And I had my arm on the – I put my right arm on the bed, and I kind of stretched. And I thought I pulled a muscle, to be honest with you. I didn't know what it was. And I said, hey, Chris, can you come here for a minute? And as she was coming from the guest room, which is only down the hallway, a few steps, maybe 10, 11 steps. Somehow, I the only way I can describe it, it felt like a highway of 18-wheelers went through my chest. And somehow I got thrown on the floor. I'm 240 pounds. I'm not normally knocked on my rear end with the life I've grown up with through sports and other activities. So it was very unusual for me to be on my back. And Chrissy, who is a nurse, said, I think we should call one of my good friends who's a doctor, who's super even keeled. And she goes, hey, Dr. Jeff, what do you think it could be? And he goes, I think your husband's having a heart attack. And I was like, there's no way in the world I'm having a heart attack. I'm telling you, Rob, when this guy, I've known Dr. Jeff for probably 15, 18 years, and he's as even keeled as it comes. Like he never gets too excited too. The words he used in that phone call to get me off that ground, obviously made it very clear that it was serious quick. Mm. So, to the grown men who are too stubborn to go get their heart checked, it's called a calcium score. If you go get your annual physical, you can go get what's called a calcium score. You can find it if you have anything built up in your veins, arteries, anything in your vascular system there. And you can find out where you are as far as a blockage goes.
And that's not the same as plaque, right? The calcium and plaque.
It's similar. It's similar. Cause it'll tell you if you have any type of, if you're a higher chance of being blocked, which I did not have at the time. I didn't even know that it existed, to be fair with you. So I didn't know that even existed. Now, if I can preface this, This was on 12/1/21. So you can do that forward or backwards. It's very easy for me to remember. 12/1/21. The Saturday before that, excuse me, the Thursday before that was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving morning, I went out and I went hunting. I killed two deer, drug them out of the woods, took them to the processor. I came home. I cut my own firewood with an axe. We spat-cocked a turkey, which is incredible. If anyone's not ever done that, you should try to do it. It's a great way to do it. We cooked it over an open fire. The next morning, as you are aware now, I move 100-pound plates for a living. And on really, really tough days, we move 45s or 25s. I had no problem that on that day. But some reason, Monday going into Tuesday morning, my body said that it had enough. And we went through this process. So 2:35 a.m., I hit the floor. Somehow, I remain conscious. I basically had a cardiac event for 45 minutes. Throughout the course of the experience, I can tell you all the scary parts, which everybody here can imagine, and I probably won't make it through it. I'll try to tell you some of the funny parts, which you and I discussed. I barely make it through all of that, to be honest with you. So here we go with this roller coaster. I literally put on a pair of pants that I took off and it was in the hamper. It was laying next to me, and I put them on. I put my shoes on. I grabbed a T-shirt out of the hamper, out of the dresser there. Chrissy makes fun of me because she's like, "You took Lauren to get dressed then, and when we go on a date." And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what is going on right now. So I was kind of like confused, how to react. What do you do? What if you had to drop right now and go to the hospital? What do you wear? I don't know. Let alone you're thinking about your life flashing before your eyes. You don't know if you're going to make it out the door, or if you're going to make it back home.
So you're having this thought in your mind and you're deciding on what to wear to get to the hospital.
That was kind of what Chrissy was telling me. I'm telling you what, in my head, I was going fast. In her mind, we weren't going fast enough.
Wow.
So I couldn't stand up. There's a lot of pressure in your chest, obviously down my right arm. And it was very weird because I was always told that if you're having a heart attack or cardiac event, it's going down your left side. And that's when you have to pay attention. So I was in complete denial and I was like, no way, but I couldn't open my chest. I couldn't stand up. So we walk out the front door. Long story short, anyways, I come in here, put my shoes on and into our great room where I am now. And my daughter had already woken up, heard the disturbance or whatever, and she was trying to check to see if I was okay. Mom told her to go out in the living room, lay down, because we didn't know what we were going to do yet. We didn't get a hold of Doc, whatever. And so she actually was kind of like dozing off, falling asleep. So I was putting my shoes on. And she gives me a hug and says, "Whatever it is, you'll beat it. You always win." I told you this would be therapy.
take your time, brother. Take your time. Honestly,
I have no shame in crying because if it's anybody that gets a chance to realize that tomorrow is not guaranteed. Wow. Gets shook a little bit.
So walking out that door, you're like, I don't know if I'm coming back.
Yeah. I mean, we're 2 years removed. This is still me. Okay. So I hug her, do the things dad do. I'll be back. Tell her whatever I gotta tell her. I'll be like, get out the door. Not knowing if you're telling her the truth or that's the last time you're gonna say bye. Anyways. We get out the door. Chrissy drives a Ford Edge. For those of you that don't know, that's a smaller type car. I drive a Raptor. Chrissy doesn't like driving the truck. The truck, I could have laid down. I could have kicked my feet up. I could have been comfortable in a very nice leather seat. Instead, she wants to put me in the passenger side of her Edge. So in the Edge, again, I can't open my chest. I'm stuck in the very front where your feet go all the way down. My butt is literally on the floor and I'm in this like fetal position. Like, oh my God, the pain feels like, and I'm not understating this. It feels like a gorilla jumping on your chest while like someone, a big strong man is like twisting your chest at the same time. It's kind of crazy feeling. But you definitely know something's wrong. It's an obvious, like, I'm not supposed to be here right now. Something, I got to go get help. So anyways, in our mind, we were going to go downtown. I live basically on the PA line of the top of 83. And we were going to drive down to Maryland, down to Baltimore, where the hospitals were, St. Joe's in particular, because they have a very good cardiac unit. Well, we get on the Middletown Road here, and I'm not in a good position. I don't feel good. And Chrissy goes, hey, by the way, I can't see out the dash. I'm stuck. I'm literally in the field position in the front of the seat. And Chrissy goes, I'm going to pass this 18 wheeler. Cause you know, we're having a problem. We're in trouble. And for some reason, I kind of, let's call it sobered up very quickly. Cause she'll tell you the story verbatim, Rob, if you ever want to go have a dinner and we'll talk about it. She goes, you sobered up like instantly. Like there was no pain. And you were like, I don't want to die passing an 18 wheeler. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm dying in the front seat of her car doing 25 miles an hour. And all she can think about is get to the hospital. And I'm concerned about her driving skills on a back road. Okay. Well, we get to the other end. Excuse me. The ironic part is whoever upstairs listening, because I know you're a religious man, so I'm going to say God's paying attention to what the heck's going on at the moment. And the next opportunity for that tractor trailer to turn left and get out of our way, it turns left and gets out of her way. She's able to speed down the road a little bit. She makes the decision. I was not coherent enough to make the decision. She makes the decision to call the local fire department, which is right before getting on 83 to come down, which we've done a bunch of like fundraiser type for. We've dropped off food and supported them through different events that we've done. Well, she actually calls the line to get in that we had on her phone, and it actually turns out to be the chief of the station. And he goes, I completely remember who you guys are. I'll have the ambulance ready.
Wow.
So she pulls in, and she'll tell you stories about there were signs all over the place. Apparently, we drove in. Again, this is during hunting season. And apparently, when we drove into the through the parking lot area into the fire station, there was apparently an 8-point buck in the parking lot. She's like, I knew you'd be okay because we saw a buck. I'm like, I'm myself. Your version of this story is very different than mine. So anyways, they two grown men picked me up, put me on a gurney, put me into the ambulance. And as I'm sitting in the ambulance, they're wiring me up. There's a lady that super mellow, dry sense of humor. Basically the one that pretty much saved, brought me back to life, saved me from disaster at that point. She puts me on the EKG. I believe, for those that know it, I believe it's called a 5-lead EKG. Long story short, I hear my heart start beeping in the ambulance, like most people can recognize that. And I'm trying to find out what's going on. I'm kind of in and out. I never really lost consciousness, but I'm kind of in and out. And they're trying to figure out where they're going to take me. For the people who don't know, and I did not know this at the time, if you, me, or anybody else ever gets in a situation like this, you have to get in an ambulance. If Chrissy jumps on 83 and drives south, and it takes us about 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes to get from here to the hospital, if she goes down there and I have a cardiac event, she cannot drive and give me CPR at the same time. Wow. I'm a dead man in the passenger seat. Yeah. So her getting in the ambulance, not only do they have the tools to keep you alive relatively, but they can also call ahead and find out which hospital is open. The hospital that we were going to go to, St. Joe's, actually had a full booked ER. They called up to York, which is the same distance from the fire station. They had just cleared out their emergency room. I was the first person in there.
Wow.
So they make a decision to go right in there. And I remember, I can tell you this vividly. She was like, hey, we're going to go to York. So we're sitting there, and they're still, in my opinion, they were taking their time. But again, because time is now altered because of who I am and the situation I'm in, I'm like, let's go. And Rob, you know, I have colorful language, so I'm sure it was a eventful moment in that period of time. We will leave for a G-rated show. But I'm pretty sure my point was made clear. Anyways, while we're sitting there in the fire station, I heard my heart flatline. Electrical signal to my front side of my heart actually stopped. And my heart stopped beating. They were instantly able to inject morphine in one arm and adrenaline in another. And luckily, without pads, my heart kicked back in and decided to beat. And they were able to keep me alive and conscious for the ride from basically Middletown, where Middletown Road and 83 meets up to York Road and get into the hospital. I can tell you every bump. I can tell you every time that ambulance slowed down between here and there. And I think it was the fastest trip. And by the way, I got a heavy foot. I think that was the fastest trip I've ever gone between my house and York. That ambulance driver was a rocket ship. And I don't know how, because Chrissy follows me quite a bit on this edge, and she can't keep up with the Raptor, but she was right behind because I was looking out the back. If no one knows what an ambulance looks, you're looking out the back the whole time, and I could see the car. But anyways, we pull up to the
Hey, Rob, if I can interrupt you real quick. So you heard it flatline in the ambulance.
I had the paperwork.
And then was there a moment of unconsciousness there? Like, did you?
They were actually prepping me to, in case that happened, apparently. And so as soon as it happened, I can't speak for anybody else other than my experience. So right. I almost kind of felt nauseous and excitement at the same time. It was weird. The body was trying to keep you alive.
Right.
And, I have no problem ever calling the ambulance people because I've done so many thank yous with them. It's ridiculous. and rightfully so. And well earned. They were like, they're just talking to you, trying to keep you conscious.
Yeah.
They're very shocked that I never got elevated as far as nervous that I was going to die. To that night was not going to be my night.
Yeah.
You're well aware of my personality. I'm going to go out with something way more eventful than going to be on a Tuesday night. that's hilarious. So anyways, we pull up to the ER and they wheel me through. I can remember them wheeling me through, and there's nobody in there. There's nobody in the waiting room. There's nobody in the hallways. There's nobody. And all of a sudden they bang me into this room, and there's 8 ladies. And what turns out to be is 1 gentleman sitting down. Now, if you don't mind me being playful on the sense of humor here with me, mind you, medicated and in a life or death, more of a death type situation. I said, about time. And I knew I'd go out this way. 8 women ready to tear my clothes off.
While you're in the process of maybe dying, right?
Yes, because the wife is sitting literally right behind me, filling out insurance paperwork, just laughing like hysterically laughing. She said, as soon as I could get the room laughing, she knew I'd be okay. So they're as soon as that occurs, they obviously cut. I mean, Bryn, my daughter, still has my shirt that was got cut off. They don't jerk around. When you're going there, by the way, as I already told you, that the funny part of this is me trying to pick out which jeans I'm taking. In about 7 seconds, they take the sharpest shears ever, and they go from your right leg all the way up your pant seam, all the way through your belt, all the way up to your T-shirt, and they literally tear your clothes off and pull it out from underneath you. You are completely naked in less than 10 seconds. It's incredible. And then they give you this little, like, what looks like a tablecloth with, like, this little dinky rope thing, and they lay it on top of you. Like, that's now going to – I'm dying. Do you think I care what I look like with some designer wraparound thing? I don't give a crap at this point. I mean, crazy.
At least it wasn't a white cloth at the time, right? Yeah,
crap. Like, or a black body bag, whatever. Anyway, they start doing what they do. They obviously shave your chest, then your right leg. They shave my right arm in this case, trying to get ready for going into the cath lab to find out what's going on. The other part that's cool about an ambulance, again, I didn't know this at the time, and I wanted to share this, is they can send what your heart is doing, what your body is doing, your vitals are doing to the ER that you're going to from the ambulance.
Really?
If I jump in a car with you, Rob, and we're in an oh crap situation, and we go, you can't communicate all this information until you get there. They're not even ready. So in this case, the ambulance is making sure that the ER is prepped for you when you show up. They already got a game plan. They know what's going on. They got the docs involved. Everyone's already on site, all man on deck, everyone in the huddle ready for you to get there.
That's amazing.
Me being the QB, I just arrived a little late to the huddle, and now I got to throw the play down, and the shot, and the game clock's running down. You know what I mean? You got to kick the playoff with 5 seconds to go. There's no time for an audible. So I'm laying there on the thing. At this point, they've given me some medication and stuff to try to calm me down, probably morphine or whatever else. And I'm telling you, Chrissy makes fun of me, the noises I was making, apparently. The pain and stress in my chest was incredible. And I'm not a wimpy kind of guy. She goes, I remember the lady saying, what's your pain? What's your pain like out of a 1 out of 10, sir? Like saying it real calmly. And I'm like, how about a 53? Like, I mean, we're not a 10 that doesn't even start. Like, are you kidding? I wouldn't be here if it was a 10. That's how, I mean, like, we're in a bad situation. So anyways, I'll give you a couple other funny stories because that's the way I'm going to get through this. We have a big safe here at the house. Hopefully a lot of people do. We invent something ever happened to the house, whether it burned down or someone snuck in or whatever. And, you know, your personal stuff is in the safe. Well, Chrissy leans over to me and goes, "Hey, what's the combination?" And I go, "Why do you need the combination?" She goes, "Well, if you die," and I'm like, "Who's dying? Who's dying in here?" "Hey, I'll be there. I'll meet you for breakfast tomorrow morning." This is what's going through my head. Medicated, and my heart stopped already that night. I'm telling you that I am not quitting on life. Okay. So till this day, she's like, everybody in the room was like laughing like crazy. So anyways, fast forward a couple minutes, maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes. I think within 7 minutes of me being the ER, I think it was 7 or 12 of me being in the ER, I was in the cath lab. At this point, they've already drugged me up a little bit, so I'm starting to go in and out. I remember going to cath lab, lots of screens being on my left, a lady being at my feet, another lady being at my right knee, and apparently an anesthesiologist over top of my face. And they kept putting their, you know, the gas mask on, basically, whatever, to breathe through, put you out. Well, the lady to my right, who is now I found out is my cardiologist, said, "Hope to see you on the other side." Well, apparently I grabbed the mask off my face and said, "What do you mean hope? I'll be there. You better be there too." And I went out. Next morning, I wake up in the ICU, different schmock on. Different environment, no cell phone, no wallet, no nothing. No clue where I am, but I could hear my heart beating.
You didn't think you were in heaven or dead, did you?
Okay, so let's talk about that. So Bryn's version of this story, my daughter, remind you at the time she's 7 years old. Okay, fast forward, we'll jump a little bit ahead and then we'll come back. Okay?
That's fine.
I spend about 10 days in the ICU and the observatory and that type of stuff. We can talk about some of those funny stories. And I get a chance to come back home. Yeah. I won't tell you about the emotional stuff when we get home until we get there, but I'm going to fast forward because it's kind of funny. So again, you asked me about being spiritual and those types of things. Well, here's my daughter's explanation of this show or this experience. Okay. She goes in a very 7 year old way, you know, she's trying to justify this in her head. She's going to process this. Right. And we all went through a lot of talking to try to recover from seeing someone almost going to die in your house. Okay. She goes, "Dad, I know exactly what happened." She's talking to me as frankly as you and I are talking right now, Rob. She goes, "Dad, you went up to heaven and God was busy doing good things. and he told you to wait. And you're not a very patient person. So you jumped you jumped right out of his office and you went down to the bottom and you met the devil. And he said, sheesh, you're too scary. I'm going to send you home." So here you are. You're back. You met God. You met the devil. You're where you're supposed to be. That's a 7 year old.
That's crazy
story.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
There's a chance. There is a chance that God knew I had other things to do, and He sent me back here. I know there's a fact that the devil thinks I'm too scary, and he ain't keeping me down there. So
That's good news.
I don't know why I'm here. Hopefully, we'll figure that out. But I am here. So you wake up in the ICU. Your chest is shaved. Your arm's shaved. I did have some different discomfort and pain. That wasn't necessarily attributed to the heart attack, but them actually going in with the stents, pericarditis, it's a sac around your heart that gets inflamed. And there's some medications and stuff like that can help you with that type of stuff. So if anybody is listening to the show and this would ever happen to you, that is kind of I'll use the word normal, kind of predict that. That it might go down one of your shoulder pains, and it's probably worse. It probably feels worse than the heart attack itself, to be honest. That is a very unique and not comfortable sensation that way too many medications can subside and help alleviate, but it takes a while for that to happen. So you just got to give it. You just got to be patient with it, the medication getting in, and then as soon as that calms down, then you can actually sleep, which is what your body needs most at that point. So I spent basically 3 days in the ICU. ICU is you laying on your back, people coming in and doing pretty much everything that you need to do to just maintain some type of human standard, essentially. I do realize now that the amount of money that a heart attack costs, I don't understand why they only have 22-inch televisions in the hospital rooms. I do find that very funny. I'm like, you guys can't go to Walmart and just pick up like a 52-inch on sale, like Black Friday maybe, just stick on this wall? I mean, why am I looking at something the size of a computer screen? But those are the things that were going through my head, not really worrying about what I was doing physically, because in my mind, I knew if I kept laughing, I kept people around me, and I kept believing in them and their skill set, that I'd be okay. And I realized that I was starting from the bottom a little bit as far as the physical recovery, the mental recovery of that. I didn't know how people would judge me afterwards, to be honest with you. Again, I work in the physical fitness world. My job is to help people get fit. I have degrees and certifications in fitness. So talking to somebody who is a strength and conditioning coach, telling you to run down the field and get faster and work harder and whatever else. And then they look at you and go, but you had a heart attack. So what do you know? I'm like, well, your little hamstring means nothing to me anymore. So when you tell me your pec is sore or your shoulders are sore or you can't feel your lungs or the ultimate, like, you're killing me. Nah, I'm the only guy that's been there on that road, buddy. So I'll tell you right now, you're nowhere close to being right there. So keep going. Three more reps sounds about right. And then we'll go about halfway there. So,
hey, Rob, if I can interrupt you again here. Good. So was there a point in time when you're in the hospital, whether in that 3-day time frame, like you said, your body needed sleep, right? Yeah. Were you afraid to go to sleep and not wake up?
I don't know if that was ever the case. I was probably honestly, I'll make it a joking scenario if you don't mind. I don't take vacations, and that's probably one of the things that contribute to, you know, cardiac events and that type of stuff, because I'm always turned on kind of scenario. I kind of took advantage of sleep because it was like the only time I got a three week vacation continuously in like my life. Now, it was the most expensive vacation I've ever taken, but I did have incredible customer service. I really never had to get out of bed. Like, anybody was like, man, didn't even have to get out of bed. Like, they brought me breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Again, my only complaint, could the TV be bigger? The temperature was nice. I had a great view of the window looking outside. But as far as going to sleep, no. I honestly, now that we've looked back at this and had many conversations with Chrissy and I always had like cold hands, probably like 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, cold hands, cold feet for a long time. Like weird, like not like clammy cold. Like I could literally touch it. It was felt like they were cold. But as soon as they cleared up that blockage, and I could send you the video, when they went through and opened up the two Widowmakers in my heart, you could watch the TV screen of it, like opening up to like what your GPS looks like in like zoomed in on your town, your little bitty area where you can see the roads. And then when they open up the second one, you can zoom it out. You can see all of the roads in the entire America. Like it just went like crazy.
Wow.
So when I was laying there in the hospital, I was like, holy crap. Like my hands are sweating. Like I didn't need socks. Like it was weird. Really weird to know that blood is actually circulating through my body without being blocked. Again, I didn't know that. You didn't know that. You and I could have been out literally going for a jog and that happened. We could have been driving home from a basketball game or a soccer game. We didn't know when that was going to occur. I didn't even know it existed in my body. You know, and there are many of us now that are walking around that don't know that we have a blockage. I've had many of my clients now, they're 45 and above. I definitely suggest that they go get a calcium score. And many of them come back knowing or finding out that they do have significant calcium in their system. And now they have to figure out a way to work through that. I don't want to use the word deal with that, but your heart is a vital organ. Your brain is a vital organ. I mean, you can do with one less kidney, but you can't do with one less heart. It doesn't work that way.
you only get one.
You only get one. I mean, you can get it replaced nowadays. Technology is incredible. But I just don't know if you're the same person, as far as your physical capabilities after that. So I do think, looking back, hindsight, I think that's something that we all need to do is take care of, better care of ourselves, especially as stubborn males. And I know many of them. I can list them privately. And I'm sure you can, and I'm sure the guys listening to this, or the wife that, or the mother, or the female who's listening, I'm sure they know a bunch of stubborn males too. go get yourself checked, man. And it's not too much to ask. And all of us can do a better job of doing that. We take incredible care of our businesses. We take care of incredible care of our families, incredible care of our spouses. We need to take incredible care of ourselves at times too.
So you're sitting here today, you've been through that. And when this happened, you said Thanksgiving, December 1st, you said
December 1st, 12/1/2021.
Right. And going back, you said it here. You said, I don't know why I'm supposed to be here, but I'm here.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're here?
Let's talk about that. So a very good friend of mine, is the, player development, vice president for the Eagles. And, he had a stroke. And he's publicly said this, so I have no problem mentioning this a little bit. And he called me up after he found out about all this stuff. And he goes, I'm in the hospital, and I'm taking a phone call from the Eagles. And I got, I make sure it's a FaceTime call. I don't take the FaceTime. I just take the audio side of it. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I got to be honest with you here. I'm actually in the hospital. I had a heart attack 2 days ago, and I'm not doing really well. And he goes, well, do me a favor. He goes, when I went through my stroke, the hardest thing for me to do was to come back and tell people about it. But telling people about it is what's going to help others be aware of it. He goes, the platform that you have and the people that you're connected with, if you just talk about it, how do you know you don't save one father, one son, let alone, one player? So instead of trying to keep it and suck it in, I tried to be as transparent as I possibly could be. Hmm. So from the time I was laying in the hospital, there was a time, a 2 hour window where I fell asleep in a hospital. I'm in observation at this point. And, and I have my phone back at this point so I can communicate. There was a 2 hour window where I had no text messages, no emails, no voicemails. And I made it a point to respond to every single person who reached out to me. I fell asleep in 2 hours. I woke up with 754 messages.
That's amazing. 754 people that really loved and cared for you.
754 that could have been at my funeral.
Yeah.
And I get to tell them I love them. I'm sure there were times where they hated me for the workouts I put them through.
I like to say it this way, Rob. They always loved you, but they might have not liked you at that time.
They probably loved the championships. They hated the losses. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I always ended it every interaction with "I love you and I will win," because I am a big believer that you have to speak things out to the world. And then things will happen for you in a positive way. If you think negative thoughts, negative things will happen. It's very hard to think negative thoughts and positive things happen. That's a very, very tough thing to do. Okay. But if you stay positive, regardless of how severe the situation is, even though sometimes it might not be realistic, but it keeps your mind thinking positive things, I think there's a better chance, a better outcome. I don't care if it's in sports and you're down 8, in lacrosse, or down 25 in basketball. How do you know what's going to happen? You don't know what the future brings. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the next bucket. You're not guaranteed the next goal. But if you stick to your process, my process has always been trying to be better tomorrow than I am yesterday. And when you go from laying on your bed and you can't move, getting up and just walking around is a win.
Yeah.
Walking down the hall. I will make, I'll tell you another funny story just to try to catch my breath.
yeah, I got a couple questions for you, but go ahead.
Hey, so we go down to get this, I apologize, I forget what it's called right now, but it was in my head. It's like, you go in this machine, it's circular, it's magnetic, they're checking
CAT,
all.
CAT scan machine?
CAT scan, yeah. Like, go in to get my CAT scan on my chest and stuff. And, I come back out, and they have the everywhere I'm walking at this point. I have a 7 lead EKG, and you got to hold it like this, like an advanced cell phone, like stuck to your hip. And so the people who make these schmuck things, if you could design some way to, like, I don't know, you could put Velcro in it so you could slide these things into it, it would make it, I think you'd make $1 million because I would have paid whatever it was. Because they wheel me back and then they can't get the bed from the hallway into your room for some reason because your bed's in there and there's too much, whatever. So I go to stand up and this thing falls out. So I just bend over to pick it up. Eight nurses, male and female, jump out from behind the counter thinking I'm passing out, falling on my face. And I literally pick it up and there's a full football team in front of me just staring at me. I'm like, what is going on? They're like, yo, we thought you fell over. I was like, this is all it takes to get some, like, reaction from people. A second ago, I asked for a couple towels or a different lunch, and then you took 20 minutes to get here. No.
So did you feel like you were in that football huddle calling that audible?
Oh, my God, yes. At that point, I was going, like, geez, can we get a different lunch? Maybe some hamburger or something instead of soup and a crouton and a cucumber? Lordy. Oh, my God. Yeah, fire away with your questions. Go ahead.
So you come back from all this, and you, I've known you for the 7-8 years, and you've always been a positive guy, positive outlook. How do you get more positive after this experience? Was there a change in mindset, change of perspective? You were already Mr. Positive. How much more positive could you be?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I can go very, very negative. So it's a conscious decision on my end on a regular basis. My sarcasm is the way I deal with a lot of things, and some people perceive that as negative or you know, sometimes it doesn't hit the mark. I go a little bit with the shotgun version of comedy. At some point, one of them's going to make you laugh. I'll just try a whole bunch of different jokes until I figure out what you find funny. A lot of people ask, how has it changed me? I definitely slow down. And I used to work from 6 a.m. till 9 o'clock at night, and I never come home. And through this course of this scenario, every day I come home for lunch. Every day I say, I love you to Chrissy and Brent, some way or shape or form. That was not something I did in the past. Okay. I'm not saying for granted, but I figured, it was kind of a tough guy mindset that, I was just going to provide for the family and do as much as I could to make sure that everybody got what they wanted. And I would figure out my side of it last. I probably don't go on as many vacations as I should, or maybe I need to. I've been very fortunate to travel all over the world, and part of me, honestly, is a staycation is just equally as fun to do stuff and watch my daughter play lacrosse or soccer or basketball. I've gone to your kids' practices more than I've gone to my kids' practice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, playing catch or shooting basketball, whatever, kicking a soccer ball. Those are things I make time for instead of find time, instead of find time for now. I try to do more dinner dates with the wife. Relationships, as you know, are a two-way street. She's very busy too. Mm-hmm. And we've had many conversations about that. We got to make time to enjoy. I own my own business. So a little bit of that is I have to make sure I take care of the business and the families that work within my business and the men and ladies and that type of stuff. But a lot of times you're an employee and you work for somebody else. And sometimes you should ask them for a little bit of a break too and say, I got to do things that are right in a bigger picture. Don't worry about the small battle right now. Understand that there's a bigger how about this? You kind of asked me what I was thinking about in the hospital. I 100% know for a fact I wasn't thinking about a faster car. I wasn't thinking about material possessions. I joke about the bigger TV because it was in the hospital and it makes people laugh. But I wasn't worried about buying a hot tub or buying a fish tank or I was literally hoping to see and working hard to see the next sunrise. That's free. So how has that changed me? I've always been an early riser, but I definitely like seeing the sunrise now.
Good for you. Good for you. Does this get, I mean, you obviously the emotions are running high and it's been 2 years, right? Yeah. Does this get any easier to tell?
Yeah, I used to be a train wreck. I'm a 45-year-old man crying on TV, and I don't care. Some people are like, you know, you got to be tough. You know, don't show emotions. I don't know if I believe that. I think sometimes.
Did you believe that beforehand?
Nah, you can ask your daughter. I've stood in the huddle and cried enough. Yeah. Well, I've shared this. I'll tell you the story. As you know, I work with teams for the majority of my career, 25 years in this field. And I've been very, very fortunate to work with Super Bowl winners and World Series champions and Olympic gold medals and world record holders. And I mean, I can give you a list of first round draft picks, number one draft picks twice, two different sports. I mean, and then I've worked with people who have never got a chance to play, and they've worked equally as hard, if not harder, and they just didn't have the athletic talent. They never saw the field. So it runs the gamut, right? I had no idea what I was going to say right there.
You said what you were thinking in the hospital. You said I made you think of something you were thinking in the hospital.
Yeah, completely whiffed. I apologize. I forgot what I was going to say there.
Because I was talking about, does this get any easier to tell the story?
I don't think it gets any easier, but I know the more times I tell it, the more chance I have to make an impact on somebody who's sitting there right now with something in their heart that they might get up at 2:35 tonight, go pee, and never see the next morning. Mm. So the more times I tell it, I'm hoping that that one person themselves either hears it and calls the doc and gets stuff checked out, or if it ever does occur, Rob, if I lay back down being a hardo, lay back down in bed thinking that I pulled a muscle, you and I aren't talking this morning.
Right.
I could have laid back down thinking I pulled a muscle, and being as stubborn as I am, I could have went back to sleep and never woke up. I survived a 45-minute cardiac event where no blood was reaching my heart, and I'm here to tell you about it.
So that's a miracle in and of itself. Do you believe you're a miracle?
Nah. The people are the miracles. Everybody, including Chrissy, all the way to the doc that did the cast stuff, everybody did what they were supposed to do that night perfectly. Mm. Think about that. There might have been 20 or 25 people that touched me that night. And if any one of them does something incorrect or wrong, they didn't answer their phone call. Dr. Jeff didn't pick up the phone in the middle of the night. I mean, any one of them could have done something wrong, and I wouldn't be here. They're the miracle.
So you call it, I guess, is there a term, serendipity? Like it all the stars lined up.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming you believe God was looking out for you that night.
Yeah. There's definitely something that was paying attention. Whether you go back to Bryn's story about, he said I'd be okay. You know, he was just busy, or what? But yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate to be a product of a lot of people doing the right things. Think about how many years those people had to go through, you know, certifications and tests and degrees and everything else, and their own trials and sacrifices. So in that very instant, they knew exactly what to do without thinking to keep me here. That's insane.
And don't be surprised if they tell your story, right? We had this guy come in and we say, you know, flatlined.
Some of that. So probably about 2 weeks after this occurred, I walked up to the fire station. By walking, I'm telling you, I'm like slow. There's no muscle mass. I lost over 45 pounds in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Well, that's also what happens when you get croutons and one cucumber for lunch. In the hospital. But I walked up to the fire station and actually met the driver and the lady that was in the back of the ambulance. And when we turned around and walked away, I don't need anything. We bought them dinner and the whole that we got Texas Roadhouse basically sponsored an entire dinner for the fire station for everybody that was even there. It was very cool to be able to do that and say thank you. But we said thank you to everybody and then left in our own, you know, we were there probably 10, 15 minutes. So fast forward a year later, 12/1/22, Chrissy, Bryn, and I went over there again and said thank you. We brought other Texas Roadhouse dinner and coffee and a bunch of other stuff for them. And I said, hey, you know, just curious, when we came back and I got a chance to talk to the driver and the lady that was in the back again. And I said, when we came back a couple weeks after this event, I'll be honest with you, it was kind of like you were like numb to me. I was like, is this something you deal with so much that you don't know? She goes, no. She goes, people that go through what you do don't come back. Mm-hmm. So when you walk through the door, we thought you were dead.
Wow.
I agree with that. The people that were saving you were already thinking that you might not be coming back. They're going to do all this work not knowing the outcome. The outcome's not guaranteed.
Wow. That's moving right there.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So
there's people that are willing to sacrifice a ton. They don't know you. And the outcome is not guaranteed. And they're willing to basically put their line, their skill set on display just to give you 1% chance of coming back. That's pretty intense.
So what does that say? Does that say you need to give everything you can to have a player, a sports guy, whatever, get 1% better?
Yeah, that's...
I don't know if that makes sense or not.
I'd hope that no one ever described me as someone who gave anything less than whatever I got.
I know that, but I mean, they're giving everything they got because you having a 1% chance.
Yeah, I don't care if you're in sports. I don't care if you're in business. I don't care if you're in real estate. I don't care what profession you're in, but I think you cheat yourself more if you're not willing to be all in than you are cheating others. But as soon as someone else recognizes that you can give more, then it's your time to turn on and show them up.
Yeah,
at some point, you got to raise your game or get out. And I've been doing that for years. I'm not a great coach the majority of the times, but hopefully I've been a really, really good coach a few times, and that's what people remember.
Well, I know my kids love you. They love you dearly, you know, and you've helped them out, both of them. My son just came, you know, he had that, I guess he had an injury some time ago, and you had him come out and you helped him out a little bit. So, and my daughter, you worked with her for 4 years. So they very much appreciate you. I got to say this in a funny way, because you're the jokester, you know, the irony of you visiting the fire station. Here's a guy had a cardiac arrest and he's taking Texas Roadhouse artery clogging material to the fire department, the butter, the steak and the bread.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want this. You guys eat it.
And the funny part, I'm sitting there like drooling over these steaks. I mean, one cucumber and a crouton. Being like, this hospital visit is a killer, man. This is really cool. Every time we have a salad, obviously we have salad here quite a bit, even before this, whatever. But it's still the going joke. Like when we do salads, like if you ever come over to the house, I'll put one cucumber and like one crouton, and then Bruno will be like, it's like what dad had at the hospital. They only give him one. I was like, man, again, as expensive as this visit was, I can't get two croutons and three cucumbers. Come on, help a guy out here.
That's funny. Hey, so Rob, I know we got to wrap this up here soon for you, but how much more chiseling you think you got going on in your life? I mean, God, this is a great story. You're here to tell it. You're here to help other people, especially the stubborn men that don't want to, share their feelings or don't want to go to the doctor because they're afraid to go. They're afraid that they're going to look weak if they go to the doctor for this cramp or that pulled muscle, whatnot. You know, what else you got going on that you can help people with here? Or you don't know yet. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I've already started counting. I'm in year two of the second life. A lot of people say you have nine lives. So I apologize for having sniffles on this interview here, but. This is the real world comedy of Rob and the life that I live at the moment when telling this story and the therapy that exists. But I don't know what's coming down the road, and I don't ever think I look too far ahead. I try to live a little bit in the present and take advantage of that. I do believe that, again, if you think positive thoughts, positive things happen. I think you do have to take advantage of any opportunity that comes your way. You've got to see it through to the end, and it's not finished until you feel that you ran its course. Not every endeavor is going to be what we term a success, but you can learn from any endeavor that you go and actually pursue. You cannot learn from an endeavor that you don't take advantage of. I do find connecting with people very, very important now. I've always been that's one of the strengths in our field. People come into our facility and they see we have custom equipment. You've been in there too, from the turf to the ceiling, the ceiling. Everything is custom made for us. And I always joke in presentations what's the most impressive piece of equipment that I have, a tool that I have here in our facility. And everyone's points at all the computers and all. I'm like, no, it's my phone. Because at any point I can call somebody with the answer. I don't have the answer. I don't know the answer to most of the questions that are in life or in fitness or in whatever. But I can call somebody who is an expert in that. And I think we need to connect with people more. I think social media is good to a point. But at some point, you got to shake someone's hand. You got to look them in the eye. You got to tell them you love them. You got to tell them thank you. You got to learn from them. And when you learn from them, you got to move on to the next person. You got to kind of level up as far as the people that can teach you. And then you also got to give back. I spent a long time taking on interns and doing interviews and podcasts on my own and other ways, other platforms to try to give back because so many people helped me. And I think if you start doing that enough times, you start you'll get good things start coming your way. And I'm not saying that because of I'm trying to challenge someone to create their own podcast or to go out and try to present for the industry that they're in. But you got to find ways to make positive impacts and not expect anything in return. I think it's important to do positive deeds and help the lives of others because life without others isn't very fun.
Yeah, there you go. And you saw that right before your eyes, literally, right?
Right.
And then so it's like the whole Zig Ziglar quote says, help enough other people get what they want and you'll get what you want.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up pretty good there. I mean, I don't know if I ever do something with the intent of getting something back. To be honest with you, I don't. Yeah. I mean, think about my role in a team setting is that if I do a really good job, no one talks about me. But if someone has a hamstring pull or an ACL or concussion, all of a sudden, oh, it's got to be I'll take the heat for all the bad stuff. I'll take it all. Bring it on me. I'll take it all.
Yeah.
When good things happen, make sure that you get in front of that TV screen and you boast about how well you're doing, because that's what that's what I'm going to appreciate the moment when you're winning and you're being successful.
Rob, man, I appreciate you being on here. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, especially for your smarter team training, how would they get a hold of you?
I'll give you a new technology that we use, which is kind of like an electronic business card. If they go to callcoachtaylor.com, they can actually upload my contacts as far as some videos, as far as what we do, scheduling information and that type of stuff right into their phone. Because the majority of us now live on our phone and traditional business cards are antiquated. Same thing. We could put a QR code in the back of your business card. Rob, I know you do a great job with the Better Than You Think book. And I've told you several times about putting a flyer in there where they can connect your website through a QR code and not just a URL link. But if someone types in callcoachtaylor.com, they automatically download our contact list or my contact directly to my phone and they get a bunch of links and additional information to our social media. And it's that easy.
That's awesome. Rob, look, I know we got to run here and I appreciate you. Thank you for your vulnerability, your transparency, your emotion and your tears. Yeah. I know there's a lot of people might be hearing this, went through some tissues today. Yeah. So, Kleenex should be thanking you anyway.
We have a new sponsor of the show. Chiseled, powered by Kleenex.
Look, buddy, I appreciate you so much, and thank you for all you've done for my daughter, my son, and the kids you've all helped at the schools, not just our kids' schools, but there's several schools you help. So I appreciate that. I know they appreciate you, and just seeing you still on your two feet now means the world to them. So thank you for being here, Rob.
Appreciate it, my man. I know you're better than you think, and I know we will win together.
Yes, we will. And till next time, everybody, let's go get chiseled.
You just got chiseled with Rob Pomodoro. To like this podcast, share it with your friends, and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, you can find Rob's book on Amazon, Better Than You Think.